The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into First Take. Thank you for hanging with us. Apparently, someone's in a mood today. As for Tim Legler, Jay Williams. Good morning.
Hope everybody had a nice week.
Hi. Yeah.
Let's go.
Weekend.
Entertaining.
Nice outfit.
Say the least.
Say
green.
Say
we like the color green around here.
I just wonder.
Oh, yes, we do.
I just want
St. Patrick's Day.
I just wonder.
Yeah, wait, that might be the last smile we get. That might be the last smile we get.
You know, St. Patrick's Day is like in March, right?
I was asking.
And it's about to be May.
I was asking for the outfit because of the outfit. That just okay. Got thrown off. I didn't know.
It's working though, Molly. You got to work.
But it looked nice.
You don't let him bring
Molly is always working.
Let me tell you something about myself. I don't need other people's approval.
No. Get it.
Here we go.
Certainly not mine.
All right, what a turn of events, guys. Let's get to it. The preseason favorite to win the title is now on the verge of getting swept. What? Saturday night, Kyrie and KD could not defend home floor, and the Boston Celtics took a 3-0 lead. Ben Simmons will not go for game four in Brooklyn tonight, as we thought. Here's Kyrie after game three on the lack of chemistry.
We're all just trying to gel, and usually you're gelling around the right time, and that team in the other locker room is gelling at the right time. They've been gelling since Christmas. So for us, we're just in a new experience as a group, and we just got to respect that and just, you know, bring everything we can to this next game and just do one possession at a time. You know, I don't want to be too cliche, but I don't have a lot of answers for how you make up time, you know, from October until now when, you know, usually teams would be gelling and things would be feeling good. You know, you could put it on me in terms of playing better, controlling the game better, controlling our possessions, being more in a stance, not turning the ball over as much. I had 5 fouls tonight. So you could put it on me more of just doing more, you know, and holding the guys accountable. Same way I'm held accountable.
Okay, it's a new experience. I'm trying to gel. There's a lot happening. Let's just take a moment, and I'm going to start with you.
Can't even look at you.
Okay. Is Kyrie making an excuse?
Look, the first thing we learned at Duke was no excuses. First thing we learned. And I've sat up here on national TV. I defended Kyrie on a multitude of occasions against Stephen A. Smith. Multitude. I can't defend these actions. I can't. First off, he should have started this whole comment off with, put it on me. Put it on me. Because I am one of the reasons why that we have not gelled, that we have not formed chemistry. By a decision ultimately that I made, that I still, as a fan, respect his decision, but there are repercussions for that decision that you have. That's number one. The lack of awareness, though, is what drives me crazy about this one. Because for me, frankly, this is something that all your teammates and you guys discuss internally. You don't express this externally to the public nor the media because you're giving them an extra incentivization to beat you down. We all know that you guys haven't been able to form gel or chemistry. James Harden is one of the reasons that he's no longer there is because of the decision that you decided to make. KD getting hurt is one of the reasons. Everybody knows this. And the thing is, contextually, too, the question wasn't about them gelling or them chemistry. The question was about, so people can have context, Blake Griffin saying that we don't have a spirit. So, Legs, you know this. Sometimes as a player, when you're in a locker room, you know what you're going to say before the question is even asked to you. So he almost went out of his way to talk about chemistry and this gelling. And that's the thing for Kyrie. I still think he's one of the most dynamic players the game has ever seen. But this lack of awareness is what allows people to attack him. And I want him to be better than that
in
that moment.
And I think all three of us are pretty much going to be on the same page with regard to this. And here's the problem with what Kyrie said. You don't say it right now. You're in the middle of this series. If anything, you reflect on this after the season, maybe next year, media day. Hey, what happened last year? Well, you know what? Some things happen and whatnot. One. Two, after game two, he actually talked about a little bit how Kevin Durant was struggling. You're 100% right. You don't even go there. KD's going to be okay, man. I haven't been good enough. I've got to be better, right? He got that in there to that soundbite we just played, but just kind of slipped it in at one point. Here's, to me, the bigger problem, and this actually is something that Adam Silver recently alluded to, and I've been screaming about this for several years. You cannot have an absolute lack of regard for priority of the regular season and think that you can, because you've got names at the top of your roster, roll it out when it's time. And how many times over the last two or three years have we said this sentence? Well, if they are healthy, talking about whoever, Lakers, Nets, pick your team, if they are healthy, because we're always trying to figure out what that's going to look like because we never get to see it. You cannot go about your business in the regular season the way that they just did and think you can then show up on April 15th against this team, which is, this is a 90s-style defense that we're seeing out of Boston Celtics with a superstar that has arrived offensively, and think you're going to be able to do it just because you've got Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving on your roster. That is, to me, the biggest issue with what we're watching right now. They thought they could do that. The Lakers thought they could do it last year. They got rolled by the Suns. Well, get AD back, we'll be okay. Really? No, you're not. You're not coming out of seventh spot with the top of the, where these conferences look, and the Nets are running into that right now. So I think any way you slice it, it was inappropriate for him to even talk about that right now, and certainly did not have enough accountability, I think, on his own plate.
Y'all finished? Mm-hmm. I just wanted to make sure. Y'all got it out?
I'll wait.
Yeah. Kyrie Irving, I want an ISO. Thank you. Kyrie Irving is one of the most selfish superstars that has ever been, that has ever existed in the NBA. He's all about himself. When you and I argued about Kyrie and the vaccine, one of the things that annoyed me about it is that Jay and I are boys. You know what I'm saying? I love Jay Williams. And you had people actually out there thinking that we were somehow divided because we were disagreeing about Kyrie, because they were convoluting the issue. Mm. I wasn't talking about the vaccine. Who doesn't know? Listen, consult with your medical professionals and do what you think is best for your body, et cetera, et cetera. What I said was, when you are the reason a team is assembled in Brooklyn as opposed to Madison Square Garden or another city, when you are the one that coaxed everybody into following your lead, and everybody shows up and they say, all right, man, we came together. This is about the chip. What I said was, because of what you did, you owe them to take the same risk everybody else took. That's my position. That's always been my position. So in other words, what I'm trying to say is, I ain't trying to fight anybody, man. I'm not trying to get my behind whipped. But if we rolling together in the streets and something throw down, I ain't running.
I'm with you.
I'm with you. I know, and I know I got to, I know I'm about to go down. But I gotta go down. Why? Because I can't leave. That's the brother that left. That's the brother that sat up there and said, y'all on your own. I'm doing me. And didn't give a damn. We look at KD. KD has been awful this series. We've never seen anything like it. Is anybody doubting that a part of the problem is exhaustion? KD last year in the last two games of the series, there were 101 minutes between regulation and overtime. KD played all 101 minutes. This season, when Kyrie was sitting at home chilling, or he was in Jersey, or he was talking about working out or whatever, who was on the court for them? Who was traveling? Road games, home games. Who was holding it down? When James Harden had his hamstring injury and he was trying to come back from it and trying to get himself 100%, who was holding it down? Who was averaging 29 a game? Who was a candidate for league MVP? That was Kevin Durant. And so we're going to sit here today, and guess what we got to do? We got to talk about what we're not seeing from Kevin Durant. Recognizing the fact that fatigue may have played a role. He might have an injury for all we know, because he ain't going to tell us, because he ain't about the excuses. But the whole point is, he's in the eye of the storm. Why? Because of that dude. That dude right there, who has thought about no one but himself. Last year, I'm going to reiterate, say the same old story. There's bubble play that takes place after the season was halted because of the pandemic. What does Kyrie do? As a VP, he tries to dissuade the players from playing and didn't even call the president, Chris Paul at the time. He just went out there on his own willy-nilly publicly. Oh, y'all shouldn't play. Then when they played anyway, that gave him an advantage. Not only did he get injured in February, not only was he not available for bubble play starting in July, not only were they not there because they got bounced out of there and they didn't play in October like the Los Angeles Lakers did, they were off until December. So from February to December, 10 months off, Kyrie Irving got. Season started December 22nd. 2 weeks later, the riots take place at the United States Capitol. He's traumatized. He can't play basketball. He can't dribble a basketball. He can't show up and do his job. Just looking to cash the check now. It was $30 million that year, $35 million this season. It's $36 million, $37 million next season. Oh, he's going to get the check now, okay? But he couldn't play because he was traumatized. I told y'all this before. I only bring this up because I ain't playing. When Russia bombed Ukraine, I thought Kyrie Irving wasn't going to show up to work. I literally sat there and went like this. Is this man going to skip work? Because no one does it better than him. 11 seasons in the NBA, Kyrie Irving has played 60-plus games 4 times. That means 7 times he's played 60 games or less. That means 3/4 of his career, he has missed 1/4 of every season. But he cashed the check, though. And he leave his brothers hanging. And nobody wants to talk about it. He got the nerve, the audacity, the unmitigated gall to sit up there and utter out of his mouth, oh, I got to ride with my boy. I'm here with number 7. No, I ain't going to abandon him. You've been abandoned him. You've been left him hanging. And so now what we're seeing is the rippling effects of his level of selfishness. And I said it on Countdown yesterday. I'm going to say it again. Kyrie Irving is not good. He is spectacular. He is a sensational basketball talent. This brother is worth walking through the turnstiles to watch, just to watch him. That brother, to me, is worth $50 million a year because he's due to get 5 years, $248 million, blah, blah, blah. He's worth $50 million a year. I would never give that man a long-term contract again in life. Every deal for him would be a 1-year deal. Every deal, because you can't trust him. You can't trust him to show up to work. If he get the money, he the kind of dude, I don't feel like working. I'm going to take it off. And guess what? He's willing to afford the loss. So if he gets docked some pay, well, guess what? It's no big deal in. Kyrie the kind of dude that'll get $30 million and go like this. All right, I'll take 20 and skip this time off and leave his brothers hanging. It's who he is. It's who he has been. And the fact of the matter is, what's going on with the Brooklyn Nets right now are a direct result of his negligence. And because of it, that's what makes what his sound, that sound that you just heard him articulate to the masses, more reprehensible. It's disgusting to see him talk the way that he's talked and to act like, oh, you know, it's just a problem we got to figure out. You're the problem.
Let me ask
figure
you
this. Out.
Whose team do you think this is?
This is KD's team.
Is it?
Yes.
I don't know about that.
No, what I mean by that.
It should be on paper.
No. To answer your question directly, what I mean by that, when I say that is, the Brooklyn Nets do what KD wants them to do. I know what you're saying,
yes.
And you're right. It's Kyrie. But only because KD capitulates to Kyrie.
So when are we going to start talking about that? I think that's a legit.
Well, I
hear what you're talking about. I understand all that.
Right.
But like, there needs to come to a point where Kevin Durant says no more.
I agree.
This
and
is
that
mine.
Time is now.
Yes,
that
it has
now.
To be now.
That's
it,
time
it,
now. That's
so. Do you expect to hear that from Kevin Durant
my
when this series
about.
Ends?
That's a real conversation
hear that.
About.
No,
well, let me tell you something right now.
That's a real conversation.
If you
about
don't
now.
Hear it from Kevin Durant. In some, I'm not talking about literally verbally.
Yeah.
Like through his actions or whatever. If you don't see that. Kevin Durant ain't going to recover because the basketball world is descending upon KD. Do you understand right now that people are talking about what KD is not doing and they're pointing the finger at him for a lot of things? And the indictment against him is the lack of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
There is no doubt about it. Kevin Durant, I consider to be the best in the world until this series, the best on the planet, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at him right now. He's a good brother. Heart's in the right
yes.
place. You know what his loyalty is to his boy. That's what this is about.
Yes.
KD ain't betraying you if you his boy.
Right.
He's not doing that, right? And as a result of that, we find ourselves in a situation where a 2-time champion, a 2-time NBA Finals MVP. Now, what did I tell y'all months ago? You see what everybody talked about today, right? He left Golden State. He left Steph Curry.
And that was a narrative.
For Kyrie. Did I not tell y'all when I got blasted
you said it. You
months
said it.
Ago?
You
I said, yo, I'm not wishing it on him. I'm not saying it. As Mama Durant, who I love dearly, you know that. She goes on Twitter. She went off on me. KD clapped back at me. And I was like, yo, I'm not feeling this way. I'm telling you what's coming. I've been in the media. How many years, Tim Legler? I've been in 28 years, Jay. I know this business. And I'm telling you, they going to say... You left the longest, as long as Golden State's winning, you left Steph Curry for him? They're not talking about talent. We know how spectacular Kyrie is. They talk about talent, they talk about character. Yeah. He's not reliable.
But KD never could have predicted this with the vaccine.
No, and I also think clearly there was something about the situation in Golden State for KD. But by the time that ended, it wasn't fulfilling for him anymore. Yeah. It wasn't fulfilling. He felt like I came to something that was ready made.
But he's not indicted for leaving Golden State. He made a choice to join Kyrie. And the reason why I keep bringing up the riots at the U.S. Capitol, that wasn't about the vaccine. He took off then. And left KD. It's like it doesn't matter.
There's other
to him.
Issues that are important.
This guy's not going
to
ever elicit sympathy now from anybody.
Can't.
Because you have to have humility and selflessness to get sympathy in certain situations. And that's gone, man. That ship sailed. And I feel bad for Kevin Durant watching him play right now. I feel bad for him. Right. He doesn't look like himself. He looked like he did his rookie year.
And here's what Kyrie needs to know. Y'all. Y'all appreciate where I'm coming from. Kyrie Irving, you could try talking to the media now all you want to. They remember you called them peons. They remember you said they were insignificant. They remember you said they don't mean anything. You can try that song and dance all you want to now that you're taking heat. But you on the record. Because what happened? You have certain people that establish a level of whatever, and they think their status is here and other people are here. Very few people articulated. Kyrie did. He said people are peons. Now, look at you. But guess what? You're going to be all right, you Kyrie, because you're going to go home when the season's over.
Got your money.
Right? You got your money. You understand? And you're going to chill because you already showed us that you don't particularly care. You'll go on the court and do your thing because you're spectacular. But at the end of the day, does losing really hurt this dude? No, because he's already told us basketball's really not that important. There's bigger things in life, y'all. Y'all are peons. Y'all don't get it. He said this publicly. No one's forgotten. No one's forgotten except Kevin Durant. And he's the one that's taking the heat for the nonsense that brother has caused by leaving him hanging. He left him hanging.
I want to get to Ben Simmons, but really quick, I just want to ask you this yes or no answer. Right now, do you think it would be the right move to give this team another year, keep them intact, let everybody gel, see what they can do? You get Ben Simmons back, you have KD, Kyrie, no vaccine issue, or do you think it's just not working?
I think you have to give them another year. I don't think you have a choice. I think if you let Kyrie go, well, you can't just let Kyrie go, but I think if you put Kyrie on the trading block, that could implicate KD. And that's what... To me, that's what this whole conversation comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
What does Kevin Durant want?
Mm-hmm.
What does KD want? Right. That's what it comes down to.
They don't have a choice. They have to see what it looks like once they get Ben Simmons. Yeah. And they have to. Steve Nash hasn't really even been given a chance to coach what he thought either. Right. They have no choice but to go forward with what they have.
Okay. There's two different scenarios here. Number one, let me be very, very clear. Steve Nash has to go. I like the man personally. I think he's a good man. I'm not questioning his basketball knowledge. He's never coached on any level. So the point is, this season has proven one or two things, considering the absence of adjustments, both offensively and defensively, okay? Mm-hmm. And the lack of impact he's had on the roster that's been given to him. As much of a mess as it is, it's one or two things. Either your competence level is not what it needs to be, or they didn't listen to you. You can't have these guys back and Steve Nash still coaching them. That ain't gonna cut it. That's number one. If you gonna keep Steve Nash because it's really, really about the roster, then here's what you have to do. You have to go to Kevin Durant and you have to look him in his face and you have to say, my brother, we gave you 3 years. We giving you your money. We gave you 3 years of giving you everything you've wanted. These brothers, this assemblage that you convinced us to put together has let you down. We need you to let us and trust us do our job, to do our job. Kyrie needs to go. Your boy, he's too much. You know, you guys know this because you guys both played on an elite level in the NBA, in college. Let's understand this here. There are guys who are spectacular talents, but they don't need to be together because together makes the entire locker room cancerous because it's about them and not about the team. Kyrie has the kind of impact
on Kevin Durant that paralyzes the team from doing all that it can. You got to get back to basketball. You can't do that with Kyrie in the same locker room as KD, because then it's about them. And we're going to see. Because if you KD and you're not willing to do that, then guess what? You're showing your priority is not winning.
Interesting scenarios. Get rid of Nash or potentially Kyrie not being there with KD. I want to get to another player there. Another issue. We were all anticipating seeing Ben Simmons on the floor tonight, game four, right, at Barclays. But that will no longer be the case. Simmons will not play tonight. He's dealing with back soreness. I'll start with you here, Tim. How should his teammates feel about this?
Listen, I think the guy's lost all credibility, period, end of story. And you can see it even when you're trying to watch, you know, from a distance. You're trying to watch interactions that he has with his teammates. It's so awkward. It's so awkward because he's not there trying to help them. And they don't know really what this guy's about. I mean, he got there in February.
Yeah.
He hasn't played at all. And all you kept hearing about was, yeah, possibly he's going to come back this date, this date, this date. It keeps getting pushed back. And then finally it looks like he's right on the precipice. He's going to be available for game four. And everybody thinks that's going to happen. Not that it would matter that much to his teammates by that point, because he might be out there for one game and go home for the summer. That's probably what would happen because they're going to get swept. So he has no credibility anymore. I think they're looking at him like, much like Stephen A. was just talking about Kyrie Irving, they've got two guys now that you question, how much do you love the game? How much do you actually love to compete? And after what happened to Ben Simmons last year against Atlanta, when we all witnessed that, I mean, that was an epic meltdown of a player that could not handle the pressure of that situation, particularly in that market, the way that he played in that entire series, not just the one dunk he passed up. Go look at the entire series, the way Ben Simmons played. He was exposed to everyone for his frailties, for his fragile psyche that he has. So now he shows up in Brooklyn after all the mess they went through with Harden, and now this guy shows up, and you're thinking, okay, you do do some things that can help. You do have value. Your playmaking and your defense, we need those things. And at no point has he come close to stepping on the court. Instead, he lets to sit over there, bring a lot of attention to himself with his choice of clothing and sitting up by the coaches, so he's on TV the entire game. He's not sitting on the end of the bench. He's not back in the locker room where he's saying, you know what, I don't want attention on me, man. I can't help you guys. I don't want to take away from you. I don't want people talking about me tomorrow because of what I'm wearing or the fact that I'm not playing. But he chooses to be where he is on that bench because that's exactly what I think he does want. So everybody in the locker room now, Jay, is questioning this guy's desire to actually play. How much do you love to play? How much do you love to compete? And I think they're looking at him, you know, fraudulently. And I don't know, he needs to get to an offseason and try to reestablish credibility with new teammates, whether that's Brooklyn or somewhere else, wherever that ends up being. He's got to reestablish himself as a guy that loves to play, and I'm in this with you, and I'm ready to go to war with you opening day next season. Nobody really cares at this point when Ben Simmons sees the court.
So I'm all for players being stylish when it comes to games, right? Wear whatever you want.
Yeah.
You on the court, you ball out. I'm not talking about what you're wearing to the game. I'm talking about what your stats are on the court. There's something interesting to me when I'm seeing him on a video, carry the Louis Vuitton bag, all the different outfits, the New York Knicks colors he had on the other night, the lime green lamb outfit he had all night. It makes me think But these are signs of people that don't love basketball to me. You love what basketball provides you.
Why? Because you like to dress nice? That's not fair.
Well, I will break it down for you.
Yeah, no, please do.
Because my thing is, if you're on the court and you're having mental things, right? And I've talked about this. You don't want the attention on you. You're trying to heal. You're trying to get yourself to a point where you're at the place mentally where you can play. You know what? When you stand up on the sideline, Molly, wearing a suit like this for three stretches in a row, you know what you're saying? You're saying, hey, look at me. It's not about what's happening on the court. You're focusing everybody on your, everybody else on the bench is wearing black, Molly. Everybody, multiple games. Everybody's in uniform wearing black.
Absolutely.
How come you're not wearing black? So there are little things like that that make me think, what is this really about, Ben? Is this more about Ben Simmons, yourself? Or is it more about you not wanting to be on the court? I get confused by it. Also, when you're in your IG page and you do the little emoji with the cloud of smoke coming out your nose, you typically do that before you're about to play. There's a history of you doing that before you're about to play. When you do an interview and you say, hey, look, it's easy to insert me into the lineup. Okay, you're about to play. When the statement is, I have a sore back, you know how many times I've seen NBA players with things that are sore, Molly? That are sore legs? That's not saying you can't play. So I'm looking at you now as a teammate, and I'm saying, yo, man, Everybody's sore. Everybody's played through injury. We're in a dire situation. We're down 3-0. I need you to give me 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And I know he's hurt, but give me 10 minutes and show me that. Same way Stephen A. talked about Kyrie being selfish. Show me that it's not about you, Ben. Show me that it's about us and what we're trying to collectively do.
All right.
That's what making it seems to me, Molly.
Well, first of all, that's a very eloquent explanation, and you're 1,000% right. You stole some of my thunder there because I was damn sure going to get in on those outfits. Mr. Zoolander is what I call him, Zoolander. You're the male model of the movie, the male model. That's what the hell he want to be. Okay, we see that, all right? But I got so much more to say. Let me say this. Notice I said Kyrie Irving is one of the most selfish superstars we've ever seen and obviously one of the most selfish athletes we've ever seen. I didn't say the word the as a number one, because obviously he ain't got nothing on Ben Simmons. Nobody is worse than Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons might also be the weakest, most pathetic excuse for a professional athlete we have ever seen in not just American history, but the history of sports. I can't think of a professional athlete that has come across more pathetic than this man. Friday, on Countdown, what did I say? They came out with the news. They said Ben Simmons gonna play Game 4. I said, excuse me, it's 72 hours from now.
I'll wait.
It's 72 hours from now. Come to me Monday, because that brother ain't playing. You know why? Because if you gonna play for Game 4, why wouldn't you play for Saturday's Game 3? It's 2-0. You see what Boston's doing to your teammates. If you got anything, that's the game you wanted to be in. Not when you down 3-0. There's no way in hell he was going to play tonight. And I'm telling you something right now. As a result, there's certain facts that need to be thrown out there. Daryl Morey won this trade now. I got to stand up and be like, Daryl Morey, my bad, brother. I thought you lost
this trade. Same here.
I thought you lost this trade. I'm thinking Ben Simmons with Seth Curry, with Andre Drummond and 2 first-round picks. You got hoes. Daryl Morey knew something the rest of us didn't. My apologies, Daryl Morey. He won this damn trade because I don't give a damn how James Harden doesn't look like James Harden in Houston. Still can ball, still can give you 20 and 10, all right, but he's not the James Harden in Houston. I don't give a damn. He could average 5 points, and he's a better product than Ben Simmons. That's how pathetic Ben Simmons is right now. So Daryl Morey clearly won the trade. Number two, let me say this on national television to Mr. Rich Paul for Clutch Sports. You have to get rid of Ben Simmons. It's bad for business. You can't represent this dude. He don't want to play, but he want his money. Like you said, the outfits that he's wearing, the stuff that he's posting on social media, I promise you, you'll see him in L.A. or Calabasas. I promise you, you're going to see him in South Beach. How much you want to make a bet his back injury ain't going to be bothering him then? I told y'all, we're still trying to find out. Did he hit a pothole on the New Jersey Turnpike? Was he getting his groove on and tweaked his hip or something? Is that why the hell he got a bad back? Don't you notice this thing about bad backs? Y'all know this as professional athletes. The back is the toughest thing to diagnose. See, with a knee, ankle, Achilles, ACL, whatever, it could be anything. The doctor can say you're well enough. Where they can't do that is with the back. Anybody that's in sports in any capacity knows that. You can't diagnose what's going on with somebody's back, but so much. You're literally at the mercy of the player. His family flying into town, supposedly to watch him play. Everybody's covering for him. He's on the bench, Molly. Green one day.
I tell you.
Orange the next. Got on pink shades, looking like Zoolander and all of this other. I mean, you can't make this up. You can't make this up. I mean, this brother put Fabio to shame. I mean, you got to be kidding me. This is what the hell he has done. And got the nerve knowing he hasn't played any NBA minutes this year more than me or you, or Molly for that matter. Got the audacity to be filing a grievance to recoup $20 million. And he's showing up on the practice court, or he's showing up and warming up. When he warming, he didn't throw a pass. You know why he did that, guys? Because that means he still gets his money. He's a participant. He's trying. He's a disgrace. Enough's enough of this. And the fact is that This dude is robbing money and is stealing money, and when the NBA has their collective bargaining negotiations, and they go to the players, and they start talking about pay for play, because you ain't gonna be able to get this money any longer while you sitting out and refusing to play. And you can try to hold out if you want to. There's only a few of y'all that's making those mega dollars. They can talk about the average salary in the NBA is over $10 million. Well, you got cats making 50, 45 to $50 million, and then you got cats making a few a few hundred thousand dollars. There's a huge discrepancy there. And you take away the few marquee players, and it ain't like that. You think you can sit out all you want to. The owners are coming. And when they come and they put in a Ben Simmons rule or a Kyrie rule, I want to see how supportive the players are of them. They screwed the players over, and they're costing their players. Watch.
I just want to
call it the Zoolander rule.
That's right.
Hold on. I want to be clear on one thing. So neither of you are buying the back either. You just think this is a personal choice. The series is over, and he's choosing not to play.
Look, I think it's a subjective thing. Myself, no. I'm 100% in line with Stephen A. The problem is it's very difficult to say that when a guy's claiming he's hurt. I mean, I was an athlete. Some days I might have been feeling something, and people don't believe you. If you're not playing well and you're dealing with an injury, it's tough. When a guy says he's hurt, it's tough to flat out definitively say 100% you are not hurt. It comes down to just based on your observations of what a guy
is. No, I want to ask Jay, too, though, because I know where you are. You're not buying it.
No, but hold on. You are big on receipts. So is Jay. Mm-hmm. I will remind you, Ben Simmons quit on LSU.
He didn't really quit on LSU.
Listen.
Everybody, he wanted to get his bag and wanted to get his money.
No. I'm talking about when he missed games during the season.
Okay.
I'm talking about that. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about leaving early. Okay. He wants to get his bag. I'm talking about leaving early. I'm talking about the injuries, the games he didn't play at LSU. He quit on LSU. That's widely recognized in college basketball. You know this. Most people believe he quit on Philly. And if you Kevin Durant and the Brooklyn Nets, how the hell are you supposed to feel about him now? Everywhere he goes, he's not reliable. We know what a surreal talent he is. We know how big time of a talent he is, despite the fact that he can't shoot worth a damn. We know that. But you cannot trust people. When you can't trust people to show up to work, you can't
respect them. So we have two people then on the Nets that you don't trust to show up to work.
I believe that there is some type of injury, but this is where you want somebody to have the mental fortitude to say, you know what, I'm going to give you 10 minutes. I think the kind of applaud that he would get from everybody in the basketball community,
right,
if you saw him try to fight through it, right, but what it meant for his team would shift the conversation around Ben Simmons, but he chose not to.
Big difference between hurting and being injured.
Injured, exactly.
Everybody, every single player you're going to watch tonight and watch over the course of the playoffs is hurting in some degree.
Right. Yeah.
And you're trying to play through it. The difference is this. There was a time when a guy would say, if I'm an 18-8 guy, but you know what? I can only give you like 12-5. I'm going to give you 12-5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Problem is now, guys go out and they're like, I am not coming back on the court until I'm 18-8 again.
That's right.
And that's what we sit there and look at a guy like Ben Simmons and say, man, you don't think if he can move length against a Jason Tatum, you could help us right now.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's a book that's out. It's a bestseller. It's called Blood in the Garden.
Mm-hmm.
All right. In the book, there's a story that's being told about Pat Riley. He was the coach of the New York Knicks. And Charles Smith walked into the team meeting before game when these guys were getting ready to play. And he walked in with his street clothes on. And Pat Riley said, if everything was on the line, do you think you could give us 5 minutes if you had to? Charles Smith said, yeah. Pat Riley said, then what the F are you doing here with your street clothes on? It typifies what we're talking about here. Mm. He said, could you give us 5 minutes? And if you know you could give us 5 minutes, what are you doing here with your street clothes on? And so what you have is last comment, and then I'll leave it alone. Back in the day, you had dudes who were playing, and they were looking to make the bag, make the paper, while in the same breath, building the NBA brand. You got guys today that are getting paid high nine-figure salaries, literally. And they're saying, nah, I want to make sure I'm okay so I can get the next bag, the next contract. That's the difference in today's culture. And more so than ever before, when you take into account the pandemic and how it's ravaged folks financially, I have been covering the NBA for 28 years. I have covered like four collective bargaining negotiations, because I was covering it before I was covering the NBA in 1995. I have never, ever seen the owners more committed to addressing something as committed as they are to addressing these brothers' willingness to miss games. What the damage that these few, albeit few, it's not most, it's not all, just a few, but the damage these players have done to the players, they gonna feel it. The owners are coming, the league is coming, and I, for one, don't blame them one damn bit. It is a travesty what just a few of these players have done to damage this sport. And they're going to pay for it. You can book it.
All right. Great conversation, Jay Will.
Molly.
I won't wear my rose-tinted
glasses. Stop. You wear whatever you want.
I won't bring my Louis bag.
You're here. You're showing up. You're fine.
You got Celtic green on. No, I know that. I know you got Celtic green on.
You know what? I'm just going to lay low.
Molly trying to floss a little bit.
Listen,
she's like, what's the problem with Ben Simmons flossing? I mean, what's the problem?
I'm just messing with you guys. It's just, it's all about fairness, playing a little devil's advocate. And listen, I like to dress.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits, like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
The Bucks blew out the Bulls 119-95 to take a 3-1 series lead. Giannis continued to dominate with his 12th career 30-point, 10-rebound, 5-assist game in the postseason, the third most since the merger. The Heat also took a 3-1 series lead with a 24-point win versus the Hawks. Jimmy Butler recorded his 6th 30-point game in the postseason with the Heat, third most in franchise history behind Wade and LeBron. And looking ahead to tonight, the Celtics going for the sweep against the Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn opened the season as favorites to win the NBA Finals at Caesars and are now on the brink of a first-round Sweet. Before we get into the debate, Stephen A., I understand there's something you wanted to address.
Something I wanted to add. Sure. And I wanted to add it right here with Tim Legler in attendance with me because he's done such an exceptional job of coaching, covering the NBA for all of these years. I'd be remiss in neglecting to point out that as we talk about these players sitting, we don't point out the instigator of all of this, the number one culprit with these players' willingness to sit out, load management, all of this other stuff. That would happen to be a man that I revere and respect profoundly. His name is Greg Popovich. That is the one person that has to be held accountable when we're lamenting this. I remember one year when the Miami Heat were playing a game in Orlando. They had a game the next night, nationally televised on TNT. Whatever his friction was with former Commissioner David Stern, Greg Popovich sent Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, and Tony Parker home. How did we know that? They were on a line for Chick-fil-A in the Orlando airport about to board Southwest. Am I lying?
Nope.
True story.
Remember it well.
They were waiting to board Southwest to San Antonio, and they were standing in the line for Chick-fil-A, and people were like, aren't they supposed to be playing tonight in Miami? And so the point is that as we sit here and we lament the state of affairs that exists with these players not prioritizing, showing up to work and valuing the regular season on a regular basis, I'm not accusing the great Greg Popovich of devaluing it. You're saving the players their legs and all of this other stuff, and I get it. Plus, your relationship with Commissioner Stern is believed to have had something to do with that. But he was very unapologetic in making those decisions to sit players. And it made it easier for the players to do that themselves. We can't talk about the players making some of these decisions and leave Greg Popovich's name out of the mix. That's all I have to say.
That's fair. I'll start with you here, Tim. Getting back to the East, we gave a little recap there. Who's the best team right now?
A couple months ago, I picked the Bucks and Warriors to meet in the finals. I picked the Warriors to win it all. And I started to wonder about that, obviously, when they started having all those injuries. Draymond went down. Sure. Steph got hurt. Of course, yes. You're going to doubt it. But what I'm seeing is what I thought I was going to see, right?
That's
so
right.
I'm like, okay, fortunately, that pick is still out there.
Yes,
today.
Yes, that's right.
It came full circle like a boomerang. The Warriors are back. Okay, so That's the West. The East, staying with Milwaukee, and here's why. I know how impressive Boston has been. I know what their defenses look like. The numbers speak for themselves. I see what they're doing to one of the greatest offensive players this league has ever seen in this series. Here's why I like Milwaukee. The length that Boston has defensively is bothering Kevin Durant. The physicality that they have that is bothering Kevin Durant. Those things don't affect Giannis. Giannis is different. Giannis is going to be able to do his thing physically. Now, listen, going into last postseason, he still had to answer the bell about certain things. Could you have finesse in your game when we need you to have finesse? Can you make a pull-up 18-footer if you have to? Can you make free throws at an important moment if you had to? Because the physical part, he could overwhelm you. He did it time and time again. But two straight postseasons, Toronto bottled him up by basically going to five guys in the paint against him. He didn't have an answer for it. Then the Miami series, he rolled his ankle, but they were also doing the same thing to him. He did not have an answer for it. So the doubt was there. He answered it. He can come through in a way now in a certain aspect of his game if that's what the situation requires. So I have faith in him physically still being able to do what he does. Now, listen, I understand that Chris Middleton.
That's where I was going.
No,
but Chris Middleton's not 100%, not playing right now.
Big factor. That could turn. I mean, they might come out and say at some point, hey, he's going to be out longer. They could come back and say, hey, he's going to give it a go. He's going to give us something. Still have Drew Holiday. They still have some of the best role definition of any team in the league. They've got great three-point shooting. Mm-hmm. They got Lopez back now as a rim protector and a guy that can stretch the floor. Connaughton came back. Bobby Portis is playing great for them. Grayson Allen has been a nice addition for them. My faith is in Giannis and the fact that these guys know how to get it done when they have to.
Okay.
Now, Middleton's a big factor. Don't get me wrong. He's going to have to make an appearance, I believe, in the series. Mm-hmm. But I just think they answered the questions I had about them last season. And I'm going to put my faith in them more so than a Celtics defense that could do certain things to certain guys. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they could do it to that guy.
This is how much I love you. On this show, You just took up all my time. I only got a minute to respond to you.
For
I'm
once?
I'm going to let that slide. Because it's you, Tip, like my brother from another mother. Here's the deal.
Karma.
Here's the deal. There we go. Just see, you set the Benedict on the
top. Oh, my goodness.
But it's all right.
Here's
the deal, y'all. This is a very simple answer for me. First of all, apologies to Cavalier Johnson, the present mayor of Milwaukee.
Did you see your gift Cavalier basket?
Yeah. I gave it. I gave it to around the office. I gave it.
I threw out the bratwurst.
I don't want no damn bratwurst. Mm-hmm. All right. But let me say this about no disrespect to Cavalier Johnson, the mayor of Milwaukee. But y'all ain't going to no damn finals. I don't believe it. And maybe it's wishful thinking because I would rather, much rather be in South Beach. And we know this, and that's why I don't mention Miami much because I'm not trying to jinx myself. But Jimmy Butler and the crew know where I want to be. They know where I want to be. Having said all of that, I think Boston's going to take Milwaukee. You got to have Middleton in order to pull out that series, in my estimation. Now, Grayson Allen deserves a lot of credit, and the Bulls should be ashamed of himself after him hurting Alex Caruso early in the season. He giving it to them. Jrue Holiday is big time. Giannis is Giannis, and Bobby Portis, I'm a fan. But I just think that when you look at Boston and the kind of defense that they play collectively, along with the emergence of a Jason Tatum and a Jaylen Brown, I think they have enough to beat the Milwaukee Bucks, and that's who I'm thinking about right now. I'm thinking about Boston instead of Milwaukee. It's really, really that simple. And Miami, I ain't mention you because I ain't trying to jinx my aspirations for May